listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFeverCFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Song, David, and that was amazing. Thanks, guys. Well, today's a really exciting day. We've got Pastor Jeremy Steele with us for the third time this year. The first time he was in Adelaide, we got him to speak. The second time, there was a bit of stuff starting to bubble about this guy could be our next pastor. But when he was here, nothing was official. We hadn't even offered him the role. That was 2 days later. And since that announcement, I know there's been a lot of excitement. Our Facebook page, which normally gets like one like, which is Zoe normally, for anything we put up. We had hundreds of comments from like all over the world from people that were really excited about what was happening. So the leadership team is really excited. I can really sense the anticipation, the excitement in the church. And there's one person who's maybe as excited, if not more excited, and that's Pastor Bill. So it's great to have Pastor Bill and Kathy here today. Pastor Bill's our National CRC Chairman and heads up the Association of CFC Churches as well. And he's asked just to come and, I guess, endorse Jeremy and just give a little bit of his background with Jeremy. So Pastor Bill, welcome today. Let's put our hands together.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Great to be here. Good to see all the kids here as well. It is a great joy for me to introduce Jeremy to you. He's no stranger to you and he's no stranger to me, but the way the Lord worked it for him to become the lead pastor after 15 years as a missionary to Papua New Guinea and then 6 years missionary at large, working closely with Pastor Barry Silverback, who's our CRC International Missions Director, working directly for Barry across the nations, but now he'll be working with him like we all do, and he's going to be employed 3 days a week by LaFever, because that's what the church in its budget can handle, and Jeremy's putting in 2 days a week into world missions, and we're hoping and trusting that that'll be funded as well, but not from the LaFever church. So his heart for missions is beautiful. I thoroughly endorse Jeremy. I've known him since he was 12 years of age. Anyone here that's 12? Okay. Oh, yeah, at the back. That's, you are lying. We need to pray for you. And to see how God called him into ministry and to become our youth pastor and part of our team at Seton, and then for us to be able to support him as a church over the past 15 years. So you're in for a fantastic ride. He is a really experienced pastor and also a very strong leader. And so he's going to lead you, and it's going to be a new frontier. There's going to be a new promised land. So hang on to your seats. You're in for a ride. And it's going to be really exciting. That sounds ominous, doesn't it? But it's a new era for the church. And I'm really delighted to be here to endorse him and to introduce him formally to you. This is Pastor Jeremy Steele, your new lead pastor. Why don't you stand together and put your hands together as he comes to preach the word? Is that right? Yeah.
Oh. Thank you very much. You can take your seats. I better be careful. No, it's absolute delight. Last time when we actually did the announcement, it was all done through video and I couldn't see you, so I couldn't tell whether you're smiling or happy or not. And even now, I still can't tell whether you're smiling, happy or not, because you've got masks on. So, I'm just absolutely delighted to accept the position, and really for me it's about doing life together, loving Jesus together, and then working out how us as a community love Jesus like as a community, but then how that love then spreads from with what Christ is doing in us to the peninsula, and where he would have us and who he would have us reach out to and how we would outwork that. There's a great history here in the church from Pastor Allen and Pastor Bruce and Pastor Mick Hutchfield, and understand that, you know, Pastor Sam and Pastor Paul have done a lot of work as well. So it's just my joy to be able to come into a church that's got a great history and be able to work with that and a foundation that's sort of been laid, and to move forward and onwards into what God has for us. And I think the journey of life is always a journey of moving forward. So he calls us into that. So doing life together. Sondra's really excited to be coming back to Adelaide. We've been away for 15 years, so she's really looking forward to that as well. And It's a delight for us as well, as part of coming here, is that there's a number of people that we've known for, I don't know, Sam, how long is it? Do we declare that, or do we just say a few years? So at least from when we were 12, I think Sam would have been a couple of years younger, but so until now, and Paul and Tara and Danny and Liz and others that we've, you know, and Beck, I've known Beck even longer. I think I mentioned that last time, but we were neighbours in Armada when I was in grade 4, I think it was, grade 5, and then we were in the same class for a long time together. So there's a long history and a lot of relationships here, and just really looking forward to building on that. And Alyssa, my daughter, she's so excited to come down and be part of it. James is also coming with us. And and Benjamin has chosen to stay in Cairns. He loves the tropical lifestyle and the cowboy lifestyle of Cairns and Queensland, so he's made that choice at this stage, but we'll just see how things go for him. Living out of home with a mate may not look so attractive after a year. We'll see what happens. So we're praying that he wants to come, but just honouring him as an adult and his choice, and just see how that unfolds. But very excited. Would love to be here today and tomorrow, and just saying let's get on with loving Jesus together and get on with the journey. But we've got to get Alyssa through her year 12 and then sort out a few things with her house and then get ourselves down here. So we won't be hitting the ground here until January. It could be late December, January, arriving in Adelaide. But first of week of February is when we'll officially start and be on board. But making a trip back for the national conference and being here for the 2 Sundays in front of that and after that as well, so that's in a couple of weeks' time as well, so I'm very excited by that. So I don't know what else to say, but just looking forward to being here and doing life together and loving Jesus and reaching out. And really do believe though that in all of this, my passion for missions has not subsided or got less. It's still definitely strong there, and a real desire for us to reach into the nations, and look forward to the opportunity for us to do that as well, and to impact nations and places and countries, and expand that missions involvement that the church has as well into different places. So I'm very excited by that. Well, happy Father's Day. And I know for some, Father's Day is not necessarily the greatest day for them. So just very aware of that maybe that is your story. But we do honour fathers, and being that it's just such an important role. And we do love our fathers and want to say happy Father's Day to you all. So today Pastor Paul asked me to share and continue on in your series that Effie did so beautifully last week. I got halfway through her list of tragedies in her life and crises in her life and thought, surely it's got to stop soon. But I knew the age of the kids, and I knew there's still another 2 decades of tragedy to come. And I'm thinking, surely not. But there was just the crisis that they've been through in life and as a family. But God has been with them and provided for them in those times. Absolutely amazing. So we're talking about trusting God to provide today. And being Father's Day, we'll link it into that as well. But we have a good, good father who loves to provide for his children. And that it's actually good for us to trust him. We can trust him because he is so good. But it is really good for us to trust God. It's good for me to trust God. It's good for you to trust God. It's good for us, for marriages, to trust God. It's good for our parenting to trust God. It's good for young people to trust God. It's good for people who are in business to trust God. It's good for men, good for women. It really is good for us and everybody to trust God, because he is totally trustworthy, and he is a good, good father who wants us to trust him. God is so big that he, and Tara mentioned it, I think in your prayer or something, Tara, there, just about how big God is in our introduction. But God is so big, and he is so massive, and that when we trust him, we're trusting in someone not skinny or stingy or a Father Christmas sort of God, but trusting in a God who is huge, trusting in the God of the universe, the God who spoke and the heavens and earth came into existence. The God who created the universe, the God that says of Jesus Christ that he sustains, which means holds everything together by his very word. That's huge. And during COVID, we've all had restrictions and different things and tried to get out, but there's a few people that have taken that to the extreme, like Richard Branson and Elon Musk. They decided that it wasn't good enough just to get out of the house and go to the park. They needed to go to outer space. So they built themselves some rockets and jumped in those rockets and got themselves to outer space as they're, I don't know, moving out of restriction and limitation and all the things that are going on. But even that, to get to that point where just going across, where they've marked a line, if you get up there, there's a line that says now you're in outer space. So they got to that line and went over it and got to outer space. But even that really is just touching the surface as the size of the universe. That at the moment there's robots on Mars collecting stones to bring back to Earth at some time so they can analyze them and look at all that sort of stuff. But even Mars, we seem so far away, but for God, it's still so close. It's just the beginnings of the universe. And our massive God, who is so good, says, trust me. Our massive God, who is so good, so huge, created the heavens and the earth, actually sees you and is interested in your life and your situation and says, trust me. That in the busyness of the world and the billions of people that are around, he knows you, he sees you, and he says, I want you to trust me and I will provide for you. That's amazing. The Bible is full of stories of people who learned to trust God. And as Effie explained so beautifully last week, trusting God in difficult times, in tragedies. But trusting God, we need to learn to trust God in the good times, but there's also bad times. There's also times when we trust God and he doesn't answer us the way that we want. Ever had one of those prayers answered? He answered the prayer, but not how we wanted it answered. Doesn't come at the time that we want or the way that we expect, but he still says, I want you to trust me. We live in a world that says we want immediate answers, or if I do this, this will be the outcome. But that's not the journey of following Christ for so many people. As you look through the Old Testament, there's so many stories of people who actually had a journey and they trusted God, but they went through some tough times. There's a lady named Ruth, and I don't know if you read the book of Ruth. It's a very short book, a beautiful book, but this lady, we meet her, and she's the daughter-in-law of a lady named Naomi. Naomi had left the promised land and left the place of God's provision. Her and her husband got up and left pursuing something else. They got to a place and they were hoping probably for riches and fame and something, blessing. But what they ended up with for Naomi was tragedy and sorrow. She ends up in a place where her husband dies and her two sons die. So she's left in this foreign land, a place that is not her own, with two daughters-in-law, and tragedy and sorrow and sadness. And she says, I'm going back to my God. I'm going back to my people. I'm going back to my place, that place where God provided. I'm going back there. And she says to her daughters-in-law, well, you guys stay here. Stay with your foreign God. Stay with your family. Stay with your people. You stay there. And Ruth says, I'm not having anything of that. She says to Naomi, well, where you go, I'll go. Your land will be my land. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And she is throwing herself on this God that isn't her traditional God, isn't the God that she grew up with, but somehow she saw in her mother-in-law this God, and that's a miracle to see anything in your mother-in-law, isn't it, that would bring you to God. No, just joking. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. My wife's not here, so I'm going to get away with it. But she, in her mother-in-law, she saw God. And Naomi said, I'm going back and I'm going to trust God to provide for us. And they went back. Ruth put her trust in this God that she knew a bit of through her mother-in-law. They got back to the promised land. And there, God wonderfully provides for them food. They had nothing. They were two widows with nothing. They're provided with food. God provides that for them. And then supernaturally, wonderfully, God provides for Ruth a husband named Boaz, who then Boaz and Ruth get married and they have a child, and that child brings delight to Naomi, and she says, I can rejoice again. God's provided. There's this happiness in her, and there's a delight back in her soul because there's a future for her. But God saw her need, not just for the physical things, but also her need for a future and a direction. And God supernaturally provided for them. Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, a Christ-like figure that came in and brought, rescued Ruth. There's another lady in the scriptures that we read about a lady who, similar sort of thing, a widow, in debt, life's going, how is this going to work? And the prophet comes past. And the prophets in the Old Testament are the ones who heard from God and spoke to the people. That God spoke through people through the prophets. But also I see the prophets as a picture of the word of God to his people. So she came to the word. She came to the one who spoke God's word to his people. Said, this is where I'm at. And he says to her, well, go collect up some jars. Or what have you got in your hand? What have you got? I've got a little jar of oil. He says, well, go collect up some jars and go into your room and fill up the jars that you collect. And she goes, collects up all these jars, goes into a room and starts pouring out of this little bit of oil. Just keeps pouring jar after jar after jar after jar. Supernaturally, God providing for this lady and her son. And then she goes back and the prophet says, well, sell what you have to pay off your debts and the rest of it, sell it, and you can live on that. God providing a future for her through her going to the word, going to the prophet who spoke a word to her which she obeyed, took hold of, and created a future for her that was not there other than her trusting in her God. God sees us. He wants us to trust him. It's good for us. There's another story of Joseph. I think Joseph, for me, outside of Jesus Christ, he is the character in the Bible that we don't really see much flaws of, other than probably just talking a little bit too much about his dream and elevating himself a little bit. He was Daddy's favourite. But Joseph ends up in a pit, and that pit actually saved his life. Then his brother sold him into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house, and then from there he ends up in a prison. And from the prison, he ends up being the prince of Egypt. And then in that place, God speaks through a dream, and he comes up with a strategy to look after the nations because there's going a famine coming. And this famine is huge. It's wiping out all the nations around. All the people around are destitute. They're looking for food, and Egypt has all this grain that it can provide for the nations. So God uses Joseph to provide for all the nations around, and also rescuing his own family that had no food, no way forward. And through Joseph, God saves the nations around, saves his own family, which the promise of God was on for the seed of Jesus Christ and the eternity and our salvation. So God uses this nation, Egypt, and Joseph to provide for the nations around. And then hundreds of years later, that nation that was a providing nation becomes a nation that's causing oppression and trouble for the Israelites, and they're crying out to God because they're in slavery, and God provides a way out for them. He says, I'm going to send Moses in. So Moses goes in, brings them out by supernatural miracles and all sorts of things happening. They go through the Red Sea parts, they walk across. We all know that one from Sunday school. Goes back down, wipes out the Egyptians, and they're moving into the promised land. They're moving in. They got 3 days on their walk. They haven't had anything to drink. They're walking through the desert. 3 days in, they're thirsty, which you would be, wouldn't you? 3 days in the desert, 3 days of walking, you'd be thirsty. They're thirsty. They come to some water, and they drink of that water. And the water's bitter. The water's sour. The water is undrinkable for them. And then they grumble and complain and tell Moses, why have you brought us out of Egypt? We should be back there. We're going to die out here. Why did you bring us out here to die? We could have just died there where we were. Things were bad, but they weren't that bad. And then God speaks to Moses. And says, Moses, go get a branch and put it into the water. Put it onto the water, and the water, he puts it in the water, and then the water becomes sweet. You know, that to me is a picture of, you know, God providing the water that they needed, but that wood going in, that branch going in, is a picture to me of the cross. How Jesus Christ, you know, when we put the Jesus Christ into our bitter situations, into our troubles and our difficulties, he takes what is bitter and turns it into something sweet. In that story, though, they don't camp there. They move on. They don't camp in their bitterness. They don't camp in that place of sorrow and difficulty. They move on from there. And it says they moved on to an oasis. They moved on, not far from there, but they came across an oasis that had 70 palms and a beautiful coconuts and palm trees and everything beautiful, a tropical island, I reckon, in the middle of the desert, but there's everything there that they need. It's just a beautiful oasis for them, and that's where they camp. God provided that place for them. It's a place of rest, recovery on their journey that they were traveling. So there's so many stories where God provides. So many people on a journey where they've had to trust God. That's your journey. That will be my journey. And we've trusted God in the past, but maybe we need to have a point now where God is saying, I want you to trust me in this area of my life. In the scriptures, we're very clear that one of the names of the Lord is that he's Jehovah Jireh, which means our provider. So he's his name and his nature of God to provide. So this massive, good God, his very nature is to provide for us. That's who it's who he is and what he does. A good God who provides for us. What an amazing promise. I think David so beautifully shared that song, but he's just saying about how walking with Christ and the need for Christ in his life. And that is the greatest provision that God, our good Father, has made for us. It's the provision of salvation and reconciliation to him through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Romans 5 verse 8 tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still a sinner, while you were still naughty, while you were still doing your own thing, God provided. As a good father, he provided a way for you and I to receive salvation and reconciliation to him, a way that we could be right with him, not based on us, but based on his provision. Amazing provision for each one of us. And I'm so thankful for that. I was 13 years of age when I gave my life to the Lord. So I chose to follow Christ and I accepted that provision. And maybe today, if you don't know Christ, that you need to say, yeah, I'm going to accept that provision of Jesus Christ into my life. It's a provision of his grace, his saving grace, coming from a place of love for us, not a judgment and condemnation, but a place of saying, I love you, I accept you, and I want to bring transformation and change into your life. It's been such a blessing to be a follower of Jesus. I know many of you could say that as well. Yeah, it's such a blessing to be a follower of Jesus through the amazing provision of the cross and the work of Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. Why? Because this loving God loves you, wants to provide for you. He cares for you. He sees your situation and he sees you and he loves you and he provided for you a way of salvation, a way of peace with God. As I travel the world, I see this millions of people trying to work out peace with God, and they find all these different strategies and ways to get there. But our God, our Father, our good Father, has provided that way for us. Not based on our effort and our work, just us trusting him, saying, I have provided for you. It's an amazing provision. And that's the ultimate provision of God, the salvation. That we would have right relationship with God, that we would have peace with God. Not a peace that we can get on our own, but a peace that comes from him. And a life transformation. But we know that God is a provider. And he provides these things for us. But he also provides in so many other ways. That he provides so many promises to us that can become part of our life. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So that's telling us that Jesus Christ is guaranteeing all the promises that God has given us. Where are his promises? His Bible is full of promises for us. And that it is you and I that Jesus guarantees them, but you and I, by trusting him, faith in him, we say the amen. And I'm believing that tonight or this afternoon that some of you are going to say some amens to some promises in your life. Because there's some things you're going, yeah, I need to say amen. I need to trust God in this area. We're just going to look at three quickly. But there's so many promises. And if I don't touch on the promise that you need, and you know there's a promise for every situation in the Word of God, Google your situation and ask for promises of God for this situation. It'll come up with a whole list of scriptures for you. But if I don't touch on yours tonight, go home, find that scripture and start saying the amen to it. That I want this in my life because Jesus Christ has guaranteed it for me, and I'm going to start saying the amen. The first one that we'll look at is the provision of wisdom. Jesus provides wisdom to you and I. And how much better would life be if we always made wise decisions? I've made some dumb decisions in my life, and I'm not going to tell you all of those now because that'll wipe out all my sermon illustrations for next year. But I've made some bad choices in my life. Some things that you look back and go, did you really do that? But how much different and how much better would life be if every decision that we made was wise? Every decision we made was just actually, we'd heard God's voice and we knew what it was. Life would be a lot different for many of us at different points and different stages in our life. And maybe tonight you're someone saying, yeah, I've got a situation that I'm facing and I need some wisdom. Whether that's wisdom for business, wisdom for family, wisdom for relationships, wisdom for parenting. Oh, God is a God of wisdom and he's a good father who provides wisdom for his children. He's big, he's massive, and he provides that for us. We say the amen. James 1 verse 5 says, if anyone who lacks wisdom should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. That's good. He doesn't find fault in me. He doesn't look for the fault and say, I'm not going to give you wisdom because I found a fault in you. We'd all be disqualified, really. He says, if you lack wisdom and you ask, the last bit of that verse says, it will be given to you. So some tonight, you need to say, yep, I've got some decisions going on. I've got some areas in my life where I need to say the amen to that wisdom. I need God to provide me with wisdom so that I would make the right choice. I would in life. And beautifully, next week we're starting on a series. It's next week, isn't it, Paul? Yeah, next week we're starting on a series by Andy Stanley called Better Decisions, Fewer Regrets. So if you have struggled with decision making, or you've got some regrets from the past, or you don't want to live with regrets, this is going to be a great series. I've read the book. I'm doing 2 out of 5 of the series, but it's going to be a great time about decision making. So if you've struggled with making wise decisions, please come for the next 5 weeks or get on Zoom and listen to it and watch it and get the book. The books are for sale, Paul. Out the back, grab a book, start reading along and getting yourself prepared, because it's such a great book with lots of practical insights about why we make bad decisions, and if we have a habitual habit of that, how we can turn that around and actually live a life that has fewer regrets. So let's get on that one together. I've read the book fully already. It's a great book, a great read, easy to read and enjoyable. But maybe tonight you want to start with just by saying amen. Amen, I need more wisdom, and practically I'm going to get that book and start reading it, and I'm going to attend the next five weeks so I can really, really hear and work out my decision-making process. So God provides wisdom for us. We also know that God provides for us financially. God provides for our finances. Philippians 4 verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher, but I do know that God provides and he meets the needs of his people. And maybe we need some wisdom to work out how we're spending so we don't get into the financial difficulties. But there's also times when there isn't just enough money to meet the needs, and God provides for us. I have a friend in India, and I've met him many times. The first time I met him, I went to his house and had to walk through rice paddy fields, and there was cows all through it. And we got to this house, and it was a dirt floor and bush material walls. And his whole family just lived in that one room, and it was a series of rooms all lined up in this, very basic living conditions. And he was a rickshaw driver. So in India, the rickshaw drivers are basically one of the lowest income sources. And if you don't ride and don't work that day, you basically don't eat and feed your family that day. So that's where he was. And he asked us to pray for him. And we shared the gospel with him and did a Bible study. And then 6 months later, I met him again. And he'd moved out of that house. And now he was in a house that had a concrete floor and a couple of other walls, a couple of other rooms in it. And he was doing better. And then 9 months later, I went back and saw him again, and he was in another place, and things were going very well for him. And a couple of years ago, I was sitting in his house, and we were doing a Bible study, and his wife said to me, "Oh, God's blessed us." I said, "God has blessed you, but you've also worked very, very hard." And she said, yeah, she said, "God's blessed us." And I said, "Yeah, but you've worked very, very hard." And she said, "No, Pastor, listen to me. God has blessed us. Because before I was a Christian, I also worked very, very hard. And now I work very, very hard, but the difference is the blessing and the favor of God on my life and my situation." And they'd started a little business selling momo. I don't know if you know what momo is. It's basically steamed dumplings, Indian style, not Chinese style. So they were doing that. And he had... was working for a military officer where he would pick up the son from school and drop him back and cook some food for him. And out of his integrity, he got jobs offered to him along the way. But God provided for him, and they saw it as the blessing and the provision of God on their life. I was the one that wasn't looking properly. So God provides. So if you need financial provision, maybe you need to say an amen today and say, "God, you are my provider financially." And the final one is that God provides strength for those who are weary and tired. Maybe you're weary and tired. Maybe you've had enough. In Psalm 62, there's King David wrote a psalm, and in that psalm he says, I'm a leaning wall. I'm a cracked fence. And really, as you read that, you think, he's talking about all that he's been through. Like, he had this promise to be king as a young boy, but it was years later, and he'd been hunted down like an animal. He'd hidden. He'd had people betray him. He'd had his own son betray him later on in life. And he's going through all this stuff, and he says, "I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm a leaning wall that's about to collapse. I'm a cracked fence that if anyone just touches it, it's going over." But then he says, "God is my rock. God is my fortress. God is my refuge." He says, "That's what I'm going to hold on to. That is the promise, that I'm feeling weary, I'm feeling tired, but I'm going to hold on. I've got a sure foundation, the rock of Christ, rock Jesus being my foundation, a refuge place for my soul. Even though I'm feeling tired and weary, I'm not going to give up because I know God's promises for me." Maybe you feel like it's time to give up. You feel like that leaning fence that's going to collapse if you just have one more situation come your way. Well, there's a promise for you, that God provides for the weary. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, the Apostle Paul was also weary. He'd had enough of this thorn in his flesh, this messenger from Satan. We don't really know exactly what it was, but it was giving him grief, and he'd had enough, and says three times he had prayed. The Apostle Paul was a man who prayed with power. And if anyone deserved or had the power to have their prayer answered, it was the Apostle Paul. He prayed for handkerchiefs, and they were taken hundreds of miles away and laid on people, and demons fled because of the power of the prayer that this man had. So if he could get rid of something, anybody could. But God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness." He says, don't give up. God is saying, "My grace is upon you. My grace is upon you. My grace is upon you." I want to tell you, if you're feeling weary and tired and thinking, "I can't keep going," God's grace is sufficient for you. This loving God who's huge, who holds everything together, is saying to you, "My grace, my love is sufficient. It's enough to sustain you." Just other quick couple of verses. John 14:10 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also." It's really just for me that says, well, let's rest in Jesus. He knows. He's strong enough to carry our load. And then 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, "Cast all your anxieties onto me because he cares for you." Cast all your anxieties onto him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxieties onto Jesus. He's saying, put them on me. I'm big enough and I'm strong enough to carry the load that you're going through. Put it onto me because he cares for you. So maybe you're feeling weary and tired and you're thinking enough is enough. Whether it's in business, in relationships, with health, whatever it is, you're saying enough is enough. And Jesus would come and say, look, my grace is sufficient. Put it on me. I care for you and I love you. So this afternoon we're going to take communion together. And as we do that, I'm really believing for some of you to actively say the amen. To say, yeah, I'm going to say amen. I'm weary and tired and I'm going to say an amen to that. I've got a situation in my life that just keeps hanging on and I'm sick of it, but I'm going to say the amen to the provision of the grace and the strength of God in that situation. Or maybe there's some that you're saying financially, I got finance issues. And you're saying, God, I need a provision, a supernatural provision financially. And you would say the amen to that today. That's our part, to trust God for his provision. Or maybe you're asking for wisdom. And you're needing some wisdom. You've been through a tough time and you've made some choices and there's things going on. You say, God, I need some more wisdom, that you would say, amen, Lord, I'm going to take you at your promise. I need your wisdom, Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers to take around the communion elements for you. You've got them? Yeah, if you could just distribute those. And as we come around communion and we take these together, we're going to be looking to Jesus Christ and thanking him for the amazing provision of salvation. Hallelujah. Thanks, Tara. That made you jump, didn't it? I think this is still working. Are you right? Well, we know we're alive, don't we? Like, woke you up. Hallelujah. You can't do anything? Can David strum? You don't want me to sing. If I sing, when I sing, the PA guys turn it down. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Yeah. Well, we're all alive. Hallelujah. It's good. Okay. Well, we're going to trust God for his amazing provision and thank him for the provision of Jesus Christ, which is what this little cup, which is all processed and sealed and COVID safe for you. But it symbolizes the provision of a good father, a loving father who cares for us, who loves us and sees our situation and sees your situation. And even before you could have sinned and even before you could have done anything wrong, he provided himself, the Father provided Jesus to walk this earth, to die on a cross, to forgive us of our sins. And as we take these elements, whether you want to say the amen and the thank you for the provision of salvation, or maybe you need to say an amen to the provision, take the communion and say, yeah, I'm thanking for the salvation, but I'm saying an amen because I need some wisdom. I'm saying an amen because I need some financial provision. Or I'm saying an amen to the fact that I'm tired, I'm weary, and I've had enough, but I need a bit more of your grace, Jesus, to sustain me. I don't want to be the leaning wall that ends up collapsing. I don't want to be that fence that is cracked that gives way, because I know that you are my rock, you are my fortress, and you are my foundation. Let me pray for these elements, and then we'll we'll eat and drink them together. Jesus, we just thank you for these communion elements that just remind us of your amazing provision, the provision of salvation and reconciliation. And we delight in that. We rejoice in that. And Father, I just pray that each one of us, as we hold these elements in our hands, that we supernaturally get a revelation of what it really means, and that we would take joy and be grateful for your provision for us, and thanking you for your salvation that was made only possible by the fact that you walked the road to Calvary and hung on a cross, was separated from the Father. Your blood was shed and you were buried in the ground, and then you rose back to life. And because of all of that, we get to join with you and receive salvation and receive reconciliation with you and peace with you. And there's so many benefits that come our way. And Jesus, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we come around this, and we just want to conscious that there's so many needs here and people who are needing to say an amen and need you to provide for them. Jesus, I ask, as we by faith take these elements together and we say amens, as we're believing for something, we're believing for wisdom, we're believing for finance, we're believing for strength for the tired and weary, that you would provide that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And just as Tara plays quietly, just feel free to eat and drink, but really, by faith, say your amen to the promise that you need answered. Thank you, Jesus.